Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we have a special guest for you today, Phil Armstrong of the Prophecy Zone. So we'll be bringing Phil on shortly. And we just want to remind you that this is a live call-in program. And you're welcome to call in during this hour. And also the chat room is open, and the call-in number is 914-338-1638. And we also have a website, propheticnews.com, and we are on YouTube, Prophetic News TV, our YouTube channel. So I'm a little disappointed in YouTube. I think they really do discriminate. They allow these pimp preachers to have your channel removed for just for an accusation, and I think it's very, very unfair. So anyway, I'm there on YouTube, but I'm not thrilled with YouTube, and I'm not thrilled with Facebook either. They had an IPO yesterday. They went public with a stock offering. And it looks good on paper, but I don't expect Facebook to be a stock with a future. But it was a windfall for somebody, I guess. But today we are going to be talking about current events. And rock and roll music, I guess, whatever. It's not necessarily rock and roll music, but how does the devil get into the music of today? And he does. So we're going to be talking about those things. But I thought it was interesting this week. A friend of mine, she's a fan of Jimmy Swaggart, and her sister actually just got back from a Jimmy Swaggart meeting in Baton Rouge. And I was telling her that there's some photographs on the internet of some of the singers that sing in the Jimmy Swaggart, quote, worship team, unquote. But also Gabriel, his grandson, his wife. But anyway, there's some pictures, and if you'd like to see them, you can just put it in your search engine, Jill Swaggart photos. It might bring up these photos that are on a website. I'll get that website for you in a little while and put it up in the chat room. But anyway, the photos are of these girls holding a wine bottle, and they're giving the 666 hand signal, a demonic hand signal. And then there's another photograph of these girls giving a totally demonic hand signal. And you know that one where you put the two fingers down in the middle? And, why do you allow someone to photograph you doing these hand signals? And I don't get it why Christians go out in public and give satanic hand signals. I think there's something else going on there. But anyway, I told my friend about it, and I told her, I said, well, you can look at the pictures. I'll send them to you. I'll email them to you, because she didn't believe it. She said, well, those pictures were probably doctored, anybody could put a picture up on the internet and doctor it. And she didn't want to believe it. And then she said, well, we have to pray for them that Jimmy Swaggart finds out and that they find out about this and they do something. Well, they know about it. Someone that attended his church did confront Gabriel Swaggart about the photographs, and they don't really care. So I just think that it's like people are deceived today and they want to stay deceived. And even if you present evidence of some of these pimp preachers' actions, people, they don't want to believe it because they belong to the fan club of the certain evangelist, and they've made an idol out of these people, and they don't want their idol to fall off their pedestal. So anyway, I'm going to bring my guest on the air. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Susan, can you hear me?
Yeah. How's it going?
Can you hear me, Susan?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. Pretty good. How you doing?
Good.
I got a double speak, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you. But the only problem is I got a my speaker is talking and echoing both of us at the same time, so I'm going to have to figure this out right quick.
Yeah.
But how are you doing?
Skype? Yeah, doing good.
I think I know the problem. Stand by.
Yeah, I'll stand by. I have some other things.
Stand by for a minute.
About. Yeah. There was also some other things in the news today.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Darn it. Okay, stand by.
Okay. If you've been reading some of the news stories.
You can go ahead and talk. I'm going to go ahead and see if I can figure out what the problem is. I think it's the speakers.
Okay. The flesh-eating bacteria. I'm not sure if
that's unusual.
Some of the listeners are familiar with this thing, but there's been quite a few cases this past week in the news, and what it is that this bacteria just starts eating away your flesh, and they can't stop it. You might wind up having to get your legs cut off or your arms cut off, or it's a very, very devastating bacteria, and it's easy to get this bacteria, especially in hospitals. They've given people so many antibiotics, and they put so much antibiotics in the food that these bacteria have become resistant to antibiotics. And the result is that now people are having their flesh eaten off by these strange bacterial infections. So it's very, very devastating.
Susan.
Yes? Yes? We are having a little technical difficulty. I don't know if you're on Skype. You might want to try to call in on a different number. I don't know why we're getting a feedback here. Okay. Anyway, we're going to wait for Phil to resolve that problem. It looks like he's going to call in on a different number, and I think that might resolve it. Sometimes when people use Skype, you could have some issues. But another thing that was in the news this week was the suicide of Robert Kennedy Jr.'s wife. She hung herself on their property in New York, and what a sad tragedy, really, that someone would have to come be that desperate to commit suicide and to hang themselves. She wasn't very old. I think she was in her late 40s, might have been early 50s, and very, very devastating. But that's how life can be without having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and not knowing him personally as your Lord and Savior. You have a life without hope. But, of course, we have hope in the Lord. And I'm putting my guest back on the air now. Let's see. Hello.
Hey, Susan.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Did that resolve it?
It's yeah, not, I had to yeah. call back in. It's an echo. Every time I talk, it would get an echo, so I had to call back in on
yeah,
that regular. I was
better.
Using a microphone.
Yeah.
It was pretty clear, though, but I didn't get the problem resolved in time. I was out today with my kids, and we were we went to go listen to John Kitna. He used to play for a couple of teams in the NFL.
Oh, yeah,
mainly
he was
the Lions.
The Detroit Lions, yeah.
Yeah, and it was pretty darn good presentation that he gave.
Oh,
and
yeah?
I was pretty much blessed by it.
Oh, is he a Christian?
Yeah, he is.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure my kids were blessed by it. So.
Oh yeah, I like him. He's a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
I remember him. He's older though, isn't he? Like he's in his late 30s.
Yeah, he's retired now. Yeah, his last team was the Dallas Cowboys. So.
Oh, he played with the Cowboys. But didn't he play with the Lions, too?
Yeah, since he played with Seattle, Cincinnati, the Lions, and the Cowboys.
Oh, oh yeah, he was filling in when Tony Romo got hurt.
Yeah, sure was.
Yeah I know.
Yeah,
so. I'm still coming off of my football. You know, it's hard when the season's over and you have to wait till September.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
the season
yep.
to begin. I'm a big football fan.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
And
me too.
I actually subscribe to NFL Sunday Ticket.
Oh yeah.
So I get to watch all the games.
Yeah, and, one time.
Yeah, one time. And I really love it. You know, I'm not promoting NFL Sunday Ticket, but I do. At one time, of course, you could see so many games on a Sunday, and you didn't have to pay to see games. But now, if you don't subscribe, you might only get one game.
Yeah, exactly.
At 1 o'clock and maybe one game at 4 o'clock. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, I do like it. I, of course, I don't approve of all the violence. I'm glad they're cracking down on the violence.
Yeah.
And of course, we know that the New Orleans Saints coach was suspended.
Oh, yeah.
For a
year. There's a lot of things probably going on behind closed doors or out of sight.
Well, I was telling a friend of mine, I said, now, that year that they were going to the Super Bowl, I said, after they played Brett Favre and he was beat up so bad, I mean, it looked like he was in a boxing match. So I said to my friend, I said, I think something is wrong here.
Yeah.
Like, why did they beat him up like that? Because they wanted to get him out of the game. I said, I don't know, something's wrong. And I'm not like a big authority on football. And even I knew that they were up to something, and then they practically tried to kill Kurt Warner, and so I said, I think this looks like really dirty playing here, and if I knew it was like, why did it take all those years for the truth to come out? I think there was a big cover up.
Yeah, it's probably a sign of the times. Unfortunately, it's probably more teams doing it.
Oh yeah, you could see that, but. Did you ever, Phil, look at some of these classic NFL games and you see...
Oh, yeah, I love it. I was watching, I think it was the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Los Angeles Rams, and I got a chance to work. I was working at one of these temporary companies, and I got a chance to work with the running back. I think his name was Sammy White or something like that. And it was the Rams running back in the Super Bowl.
Oh.
And he was pretty much telling me, you know, different things. He showed me a couple of pictures of his, you know, family and things like that. But he kind of like spilled the beans that, you know, it's not all what it's cracked up to be.
Well, yeah, there's a lot going on behind the scenes, but I was, like I said, I was wondering why it took so long for them to, they should have done it that year because it was obvious what they were doing.
Yeah.
And I don't think they would have won the Super Bowl had they injured on purpose Kurt Warner and Brett Favre.
Yeah, they wouldn't have. Yeah, so just the Bible says those things that are in the dark will come out into the light.
Yeah.
So.
And glad it did. I was really glad it did because when you look at those older football games, you see that they actually tackled. They actually were tackling, and they weren't trying to kill the person.
Yeah.
And some of the football, you know, in recent years, I thought, my God, one day a guy is not going to get up. They're just going to kill him right there on the field. He's going to die right there.
Yeah.
And it was so violent. And so I like to just have them bring back classic football. And play fair and square. It's a competition, so play fair and square.
Let the best man win. You know, people got to ruin good things. I mean, I noticed that even in my own life is that when I have a service that's working for me really well, whether it be the phone company or, you know, lawnmower service in our neighborhood or the local librarian, it's always somebody trying to change something. Even in the military, somebody's trying to change something for a better, to make it better, but they're actually making it worse.
Yeah.
I've always seen that in my life.
What you're saying. It's like when you you get a product in the grocery store or you like something that you're getting at the clothing store, and then all of a sudden they're not making it anymore.
Yeah, they're not doing it anymore, yeah.
And I find that a lot lately is that I go into this one grocery store that we have here, and it's a pretty well-known grocery store, and they always were really concerned about their reputation. And now I go in, and they actually have empty shelves.
Yeah.
And they never had that, where they actually didn't have a stock on the shelf. They were always really, you know, they prided themselves in having stock. And they always would help you out with the groceries. They used to hire retired people.
Yeah.
And they were the baggers, and then they would bring your groceries to the car. And now it's hard to even find someone to take your groceries out to the car because they've made so many cutbacks.
Yeah.
And even driving down the road this morning, I was driving out this morning to go shopping, and there were so many empty storefronts, many, many empty storefronts that at one time had businesses. I was really amazed at how many buildings were standing empty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it is really a sign of the times. What is happening in the world.
Well, we know that, you know, it seems that inflation is starting to slowly kick in. You're telling the gas prices, and this is not the gas prices is not a reflection of what's going on in the Middle East anymore. It's a reflection of higher prices, inflation.
Well, it's what they don't tell you because they're very good at hiding things and covering things up, but I believe there's hidden taxes.
Yeah.
They have to figure out a way to pay for all their programs, so they've had to raise the gas prices to collect tax money.
Yeah. Well, I noticed some, you know, things that a lot of the radio programs are really in unity. about, including Grant Jeffries, who just passed away,
yeah.
is that we are nearing a climax to something. And I myself is going to, you know, get back out and start doing a lot of rural radio programs. But, of course, I have my kids during the day, but starting now, I'm going to go ahead and get my studio fixed in the garage and just do whatever I can. But I'm noticing that the calling is getting more inclined on my life from God. It's that God is telling me, you know, that, you know, we have to clean our house up and get it in order, and even to a point of our thought life. And then we have to move on, because what I realized, and I seen you mentioned Facebook earlier. When I'm on Facebook, I see a lot of posts with really harsh comments. And what God is asking me in the past and even now is to clean up my thought life. So when I look at these posts, some posts are arrogant. Some posts are really sweet. But some posts are really arrogant. Some posts are really, you can tell they have a short fuse, or it's a pride thing. And I've learned a lot from Facebook, just Facebook by itself, not alone YouTube, and not alone, you know, just people around me. But if we are in the last days, if you're part of the bride, we need to be getting our dress ready. And I hate to say that for males, because they really don't fit. But we really have to get our ducks in order, even our family. I did a radio program, and I'm testifying to y'all right now that the Facebook comments was the same as my last radio program. That's why I erased it. And, yeah, there is time for that type of thing where you're calling people out. And Susan does a well job of it. I don't. I would rather team up with Susan and call somebody out than do it myself, because it just doesn't. Susan does it with grace still, and mine was terrible, so I just erased it. But my true calling is, and I'm finding that out now, Susan, more and more, is my true calling is Bible prophecy, of course, but my true calling is to disciple and to get people ready for Christ's return. And a sister who wrote a book, and I got the book in the house somewhere, and she's on TBN, and she's a really sweet, you know, lady, Teresa Marsalek. She made a book called Miracles, something like Miracles, something.
Huh?
And it's about, and they even did a documentary on there. She laid hands on me. She's really saved. And she laid hands on me. She says, "You're going to be helping people with sexual addictions." And I don't know why I'm saying this, but you're going to be doing. And I believe her, because that's what God was leading me to in the first place.
Yeah.
And what I'm seeing is I have a burden for the lost. But I also, and here's one of my problems. Here's one of my problems, Susan, is I'm the Bible says in Daniel chapter 12 that information will go to and fro, and knowledge will increase. And I'm to a point right now that a lot of the information that I get, I'm learning how to translate it to the audience. So that's why people say, "Well, why you haven't been doing any shows lately?" Because I've decided to actually make mine better than everybody. And people probably say, "Well, why you just don't put it out there?" And I will. I'm gonna put it out there. I'm starting now. But I've realized just go ahead and read, you know, study the ads, because what I would do in the past, I would just get on, and I would, of course, I let the Holy Spirit take me somewhere, and it worked. So now God is saying, make sure you know what you're going to say, and the thing is that and then I'll build on what you're going to say, which is probably going to go in a whole different direction than I tell you in the first place, which was good. But I was on YouTube and I was trying to figure out. I said, this one guy said, "Know what you're going to say before you say it. Or at least have some notes sitting next to you, even if it's just eight points that you want to make the whole show, you might leave those points and might not even come back to them.
Yeah.
And I was just doing shows because I got two kids, and I was just doing shows. I think I'm going to do a show. And I would just jump up and say, I think I'm going to do a show. And now I came to the point, so I kind of like just like, you know what, I'm really gifted. I am very gifted at reading the Word of God, knowing the New Testament definitely, and communicating that. Rather than, what I would do is I'll sit down nowadays is look at what's happening in the news, and either stick and paste to a Word document, and then go and tell the people what's going on in the news, rather than trying to go through that whole, you know, that whole article, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because if you don't underline the points and just cover the points, you know, I've learned that kind of stuff just in the last couple of days, but most importantly I learned is that I would rather be a doorman in the house of God than try to do anything to try to get my own attention.
Right.
It's not about me.
Right.
It's about the Lord. When I'm saying that, I mean it from the heart. It's not about me. So I'd rather just say, you know what, brother? If you're having a problem with this addiction, you know, God will break it. But what I don't like about what the churches is doing is what the churches, you know, not necessarily mine and not necessarily yours and not necessarily somebody who's listening, but what a lot of churches is doing is I never hear this. I never hear who the Son says free is free indeed. And I never hear a practical reasoning that the closer you get to Christ, and it's like a bullseye. You ever look at the target, like the target of a bullseye, and you got an inner ring, you got an outer ring, you got another ring, you got another ring. Well, when you look at the book of Corinthians, I forgot what chapter it's in, but it talks about build your foundation on these, gold, silver, hay, stubble, and it goes on. I'll probably skip one. But anyway, if you look at those rings on a bullseye, in the middle is gold. And he says in Revelation, buy of me gold tried in the fire. Now, I'm explaining what I'm saying. If you can nest a lay or habitate in the inner ring, which is the closer you get to the inner ring, the closer you are to God. So if you're in the outer ring, you're still saved. And you go into the next ring, and the next ring, and the next ring, then you get to gold. Buy me gold tried in the fire. What he's meaning is come close to me. You know, habitate in me. Have a relationship with me. Dwell with me. Your faith is all in me. Your life is built in me. And then as you go out of the ring, silver is not that bad. It's still a good element. And then you go to the next one, which are not good elements. They're more like straw. And God wants you to come to, that's why he said in James, he talks about resist the devil, submit to God, and the devil will flee. But you have to stay in that inner, you have to stay in one of those inner rings. So the closer you get to God, yeah, the devil's still going to tempt you because he tempted Jesus. But it was easier for God, it's easier for the devil to tempt somebody who are in whose wood, hay, and stubble foundation is built on. It's easy to knock that foundation out.
Yeah.
And that's why he was talking about building your house on the sand, or building your house on rocky, messed up ground. And you have to build a foundation. So not only you have to build the place where you're going to build your house at, you have to also have a strong foundation.
Yeah,
so
right.
And then it says in the Psalms, I think it's Psalms 11, it says what happens when the people take the foundation away. And that's what they've been doing. That's what they're doing in the last days, is they're taking the foundation that so many of the church saints in the past, I like to use that word saints because it's kind of throwing mud in the face of people who believe that special people are saints.
Yeah.
We're all saints. We're all called away to towards God. And the one thing about the people from who left Egypt, they were called to come out of Egypt. They were called to come towards God and live in that cohabitation with God in that inner ring. So when he said, build of me, he says, build of me gold tried in the fire, that means he's saying, come close to me. Come close to me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's more than just that. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And having a radio program ain't going to do me no good. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do the things I say do? And then there's another thing. We're not saved by works. We're not saved by rules. But Jesus did say, he who obeys me loves me. So what would you be obeying? What he wrote in the New Testament, of course. Because he said that in the New Testament. So if he says something in the New Testament, we have to obey that. So obedience will keep us. That's why he said in Jude, he said, stay in the love of God. Why did he say that? I thought for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. No, stay in the love of God. That means your attention, your focus, your affections are set on the kingdom of God and mostly the person of Jesus Christ. So people say, well, why are you doing a radio show? Because I'm trying to make sure I'm going to hit a trumpet. Then I'm going to make sure you do it.
That's
but
right.
I also got to take charge of my family. So God is saying do it slowly, but come out popping, meaning my goal is to have, and people probably say, you crazy. My goal is to have about 100 episodes between now and a certain day, and I can't tell you that date. But my goal is to start really charging in there. And I know I said that in the past, but sometimes God says, hold up, wait a minute. I got something else to show you.
That's right. I agree.
You know, I got
that.
Something else to show you. I want to show you that you can do all things through Christ. Don't worry about getting popular. Don't worry about Alex Jones. Alex Jones, I love the guy, but he's not born again.
No, he's not born again.
What doesn't profit a man if he gains the whole world, even warning people about what's to come, and you don't have, you lose your soul?
That's right.
You know, and even if it is, even if you want to go another step, what difference does it make if you're a Christian, so-called Christian? Because remember this. I want the listeners to remember this. And I just got back from somewhere, so I don't have my Bible or nothing here. But remember, people should remember this one. And you guys remember this. Remember when he said there's a parable of a farmer was going. He went out to sow seed, and he says, "Okay, let's sow the seed." And he said, "Oh wow, it looks nice, but what's growing up beside it? Those are thorns." He says, "Okay, well," he says, "what about the thorns, sir?" He says, "Let them grow together." Let them grow together.
Yeah.
Because in the end times, I'm going to separate them things really quickly. And a lot of people say, well, okay, so, and I'm going to go somewhere for a split second, then I'm going to come back out of here. But when he says that, for all you pre-tribbers, I wouldn't even fuss about a pre-trib or post-trib rapture anymore, unless you're just telling the people who don't know. Because the Bible says in Peter that judgment will begin in the house of the Lord. If you can say, well, how can he do that? Okay, how can he do that? How could he actually say judgment should begin in the house of the Lord? Okay, you got the wheat and you got the tares. On any given day, no man knows the hour, but all of a sudden they're gone. So there's a division just been made. So now the people who are in the church still remaining have to sit there and mope and cry on why they didn't go with these people who said there was going to be a time where Jesus was going to take his church out, but we didn't believe it. We didn't get ready. We wasn't concerned. We were more concerned about, and I love American Idol, but we were more concerned about who's going to win American Idol. We was more concerned about how I'm going to get my son to his graduation. We were more concerned about, and these things are okay. We're more concerned about the bills, which these are things that are okay. But we're more concerned about that instead of getting our house in order, making ourselves ready.
Yeah.
And for people who say, well, my kids, my wife is not listening. Trust me, I can relate. Bring them to the water, and if they don't drink it, pray for them that they eventually drink it.
Yeah.
So you can't bring a horse to the water and then beat him into submission.
That's right.
You have to wait until he drinks that water.
No, God doesn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't force anybody to serve him. He gave you a free will. He doesn't force anybody. But I hear what you're saying because it's just like when my YouTube channel that I had before, and I had so many people that had stopped by to look at the videos.
Yeah.
And then one day it's gone, you know.
Yeah.
Paula White was successful at having my my other YouTube channel removed. And, of course, and it's false accusations. It's not true, but there's nothing you can really do about it if you want to fight back. But I wasn't in the mood for fighting back. I'm not going to fight with those people. So so I'm like, well, I don't even care if I'm on YouTube. Yeah, it was great. And I did put a channel back up, but I said, well, it's okay. If God wants me to have this ministry, then he'll resurrect it and bring it back. But I think we're in a day. Last week there was a story about a woman that put up a blog about her former church, and she complained that the church was getting into error, and she had to leave, and that they wouldn't listen to what she was saying. So she put up a blog on the internet about it, and now the church is suing her.
Yeah.
And I think that this is what's going to happen, is that a lot of us that are out here now, and we have a voice on the internet, but eventually I think we're not going to have that voice.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Bible does say that he says, I have to remember because I just heard this, and I know this isn't the word of God, I just saw it, but it says there's coming a time
will not endure sound doctrine.
Yeah, that too. But it says, it's another verse that says, there's coming a time where I think Jesus says it. I think he says it in the Gospels. He said, the day is here, but there's coming in the nighttime when no man can work. Something like that.
Yeah.
And what he's saying is that, and I see it. I see that there's going to come a time where they're gonna actually send off the police, and I mean this
they're
gonna send off the police.
They're gonna come and arrest you for a hate crime if you say anything about these pimp preachers or try to expose error. And yes, it's going to be considered a hate crime. Now that's not too far away because you're starting to see. Doesn't Paula White have anything better to do with her day except remove my YouTube channel or Creflo Dollar, who had someone's channel taken down? Of course, Kevin Oliver, not your typical Negro, on YouTube. He has filed a lawsuit against YouTube for defamation. And I'm glad he did it because they... Yes, they can defame you, and they do that when your channel is removed on YouTube. They put up a notice that you're guilty of a copyright infringement.
Yeah.
Well, they have no evidence that you committed a copyright infringement.
Yeah.
And it is defamation because then when people go back to your name or your channel, they say, "Oh, wow, look at that. They committed a copyright infringement," when, of course, you haven't. You use the material as fair use, and you're allowed to do that. But these people, they call themselves Christians. They call themselves ministers, and they're not. They want to shut people down that disagree with them. And actually, it's not so much exposing them, but trying to help them to try to see what they're doing, that they've taken the gospel of Jesus Christ, the priceless gospel, and they're selling it, and they've basically prostituted themselves to have a ministry. So I hear what you're saying, and that's my heart too. It's like, well, if God wants to take me off and he doesn't want me to have a radio program, or he just doesn't want me to have a website or any of that, I'll go off. It won't bother me. I won't be there, and that's okay. I don't have to be there.
Yeah.
But as long as I feel like I'm supposed to be doing this, I will. But when the day comes that my time is over, then that's it. I took myself out of public ministry for quite a few years, 1997, and I think I was back on the internet maybe in 2004 or something like that. But I already took myself out once, and I had a ministry where I was a traveling evangelist, teacher, Bible teacher, and I actually got invitations to go into churches and Bible schools where I don't get those anymore. That's what you have to be willing to do is, okay, examine yourself. What are you doing? Why are you doing it? And there is a season too, then where God, he can sit you down, and all he wants you to do is get to know him and get into the Word, and then if he wants you to have a public ministry, he'll make a way. Because I feel like with Blog Talk Radio now for myself, I wanted to go back on the radio, but I didn't have the finances to go on the radio. It's expensive to go on the radio. And then this opportunity opened up with Blog Talk Radio. And I was like, wow, okay. So I started my radio program. It's almost 3 years now. In August, I think, or September, it'll be 3 years.
Uh-huh.
So I'm grateful that I've had this opportunity. And I know that there's been many, many people that have been ministered to and helped. And so when it's over, then it'll be over.
A lot of times I think, especially for myself, and I think a lot of people out there, we kind of get it confused that the judgment seat of Christ is going to be a lot different than a lot of us think it's going to be. Like, for instance, when Jesus brought attention to the lady, actually the guys around her brought attention to the lady throwing I guess she was older. She threw a little penny into the box. And then Jesus has said, this lady has did it from her, all of her belongings.
From her heart.
Yeah. So a lot of times, keep in mind, I'm not looking for a reason not to do anything. It's just the fact that I'm thinking about doing it for all the wrong intents. God has never told me I was ever doing it for the wrong intent. He's never said that. He just said that I want you to, to do it under my guidance, which is now. So now he's showing me, things that I thought I saw earlier, but now I actually see.
Yeah.
And for instance, there's so many signals that Christ is about to return, and God will just take me. I'll be with my kids, and I'll be on the computer, and I get up, and I'll go sit down with my kids, so I listen to the Bible, or I go over a lesson, and I'm really going to start doing that now, is go over each book of the Bible with a preacher, actually, with a couple of them who are legit, and he would show me things that, about myself and about other people. Like, I can see right through a lot of these guys, and I kind of see that a lot of these guys need a pat on the back, because the Bible says in Proverbs, let another man pat you, or Psalms, let another man pat you on the back and not yourself. And I hear a lot of people boasting about that, and then I find myself, man, I wish I didn't have to keep my kids all day so I can have a world ministry. And then God would say something to me like, why do you think you have your kids? Maybe you might be dead by now. I mean, it's just weird stuff that...
Yeah, well, that is your world ministry.
Yeah, yeah. So
it might not be glamorous, but
yeah. So
but it's an
I'm enjoying
ministry.
Yeah, it's a ministry. and I'm enjoying that ministry.
Yeah.
And you know, so now I'm gonna come out and like I remember you did a show on health, and it still stuck with me today. You did one show on health, and
oh yeah, I'm gonna do more because I'm telling you, I'm furious. I feel furious because of the deception in the healthcare industry, and I have family members like that. That they're always at the doctor. They're at the doctor once a week, twice a week, and they're always at the doctor, and they're the sickest people I know. They never get better, and they've been going to the doctor for 30 years, 40 years. And yet the people have been so deceived about taking care of themselves and taking responsibility. The medical profession has done a great job in brainwashing people. So we have so many sick people in the body of Christ. Now, I can have compassion for a sick person, but I can't have compassion for somebody that's doing it to themselves. It's like one of my relatives has diabetes, adult-onset diabetes, which most of the time is curable by watching what you put in your mouth. But she actually had some of her toes removed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then the other, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, she said to me, I have finally given up table sugar. And you know what? I feel a lot better. And I'm like, I don't know. Okay, stuck on stupid. How many toes did you have to lose before you finally figured out that if you have diabetes, you're not supposed to eat sugar?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't even say anything. I was like, oh, okay, because I knew, I couldn't argue with her. We were trying to tell her for years about nutrition and about you are what you eat, basically.
Yep.
And you see the epidemic. Now, this is the height of deception, Phil, is this epidemic of obesity in this country. Oh, well, okay, so Michelle Obama wants to do something about it. She's out there bringing attention to it, but I'm like, okay, so why is the government allowing genetically engineered food?
Yeah.
Why are they allowing it? Because that's what's basically making people fat, is this corn and soy, and it's almost in everything, and the dairy products, from genetically modified organisms, which fattens up the cow and the pig. They use it, and it's also made with a weed killer. They make the seed and they put the weed killer inside the seed, so the plant grows with a weed killer, and then you're eating it.
Wow.
And if you notice how fat a cow is or how fat a pig is, and we have an obesity epidemic, and yet the government wants to trick you into thinking that we want to do something about it, but they're not willing to make regulations. Whatever happened to growing food organically and having real food? We got some corn. I went and got some corn on the cob today, organically grown corn and fresh. Ah, I said, there is a God.
Yeah.
And the apes didn't give me this corn. And so we are living in some kind of a crazy world right now.
It's more like a movie.
Christians. Yeah, it's more like a horror movie, but.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's a lot of the foods that we're eating makes us have like chronic fatigue.
Makes you have all kinds of things. And now I tell people this because I think it might encourage you to know this. Now, I'm 63. I don't take one drug. My mother and father, my mother's 86, my father's 88. They do not take one drug. Not one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, that is a wow.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, I don't allow them I don't take them to the doctor unless it's an absolute emergency, because I don't want the doctor putting them on medications they don't need.
Yeah.
We try to do it. We eat an all-organic diet. Okay, it might be a little more expensive, but in the long run, you don't have doctor bills. You don't have medication prescriptions. And so you can actually save money. And I really praise God for that. I praise God that he has given my family pretty good health. You know, they both have their minds and they're able to get around and still do things. So I think there's something to be said for that. How many Christians do you know that they're on all kinds of medications and they need this surgery and they need that surgery and they won't take responsibility for their own health? Almost everybody has a computer and you can find things out by doing searches and reading. And because if you feel good, you can do more for God.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And that's what I was trying to, exactly.
You can really do more for God. So I'm a big proponent of juice fasting. It's a great way to get healthy, juice fasting and organically grown food. Because now, none of us have a weight problem in our house. None of us.
Yeah.
We're all thin and we all eat. We eat everything we want to eat.
Yeah.
And none of us have a weight problem. And it's not because we diet. We don't.
Yeah.
We just eat right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that a lot of people that have weight problems, I guarantee you, if you go on an organic diet for 6 months, the weight will fall off.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll never be fat again. You'll never have a weight problem.
Oh,
never.
Yeah.
Unless there is something wrong with your thyroid or something that needs attention, but
yeah, that has to be really serious. If you go on a juice diet and you don't lose any weight, then it's probably something we need to check out. But my goal is to do exactly what you just said, because I got my two kids, and you know it's hard to do a radio show already. From my wife has gone from 2 to 10 o'clock at night, and she normally, like, she gets off at about 12 at night, probably comes home in the door at 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
So
wow.
And then in the morning she's at school.
Yeah.
So for me to do a radio program and to be effective, I have to be at least reading, you know, sometime during the time I got my kids.
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of hard to do that. And then if you're out of shape, and if your body, if you got like chronic, like I said, if you're eating wrong foods, and then you're trying to do a radio program at the wee hours of the morning or the wee hours of the night, it really, really can get you. And then also your prayer life. If you're dealing with, I'm going to hurry up and get out. I see the minutes, 8 minutes. But if you're dealing with trying to do a prayer life and you got your kids throughout the day, the Bible says pray without ceasing. So I do.
Yeah.
I pray all, you know, when in my mind when I'm with them. But when I get to nighttime, my wife, and, you know, and then my wife comes home, she wants to study or she wants to watch TV for a few minutes. And then I'm like, man. So I go outside and pray. And then once you're tired, no matter what you're doing, you're still going to be off focus.
Oh, yeah, so, you have to go to sleep when you get – you have to go to sleep and then get refreshed. But I've been playing the last few weeks, and it's really, really blessed me. I've got the New Testament on CD.
Yeah.
And I have a CD player in my TV, so
uh-huh.
I've been playing it for hours.
Yeah.
During the day, and it is really, really blessing me to have that word on and to turn the TV off. And I'm still addicted to my computer, so I'm trying to get away from my computer addiction.
Yeah.
But I must say that if people will do that, just take some time, even a half hour or an hour or whatever, put that Bible on, and get that word inside of you, and let it be in your house. And you know, sometimes I forget how powerful the Word of God really is, and how it can change us, and it's life.
Yes, it is. Yes, indeed.
And it helps us to put down that old man, the washing of the water of the Word of God. It's powerful. So, and it heals your body. Who can heal you better than Jesus? Nobody.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that.
Nobody can heal you.
Amen.
Like Jesus and his word. But I am going to be doing some more programs about health, because it just makes me furious to see people in the condition, and even my family members, some of not my mom and dad, but some of my other family members that are have all kinds of ailments.
Yeah.
And the doctor should be arrested. I mean, any doctor that, if you go to the doctor and they don't tell you, if you have diabetes and they don't tell you not to eat sugar, that doctor should be arrested.
Yeah.
Because they're doing something to hurt you. Or if you're overweight, like one of my relatives, well, they've already had two back surgeries. They have knee problems, all kinds of problems, heart problems, diabetes, but they won't lose weight. So, so you're your own worst enemy. it's like, why isn't the doctor telling them that? Because they don't want to lose them as a patient.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to be doing more. And so, is your program on now, Prophecy Zone, on the
Blog Talk Radio? Yeah, it's going to be on. Matter of fact, I'm going to be pretty soon starting to do a show almost every day. And like I say,
wow.
Yeah, well, it's going to be 30 minutes.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be real fast. It's probably going to be taped. It's going to be a lot of it's going to be taped. So if you we're not going to take callers or nothing like that, but what I'm going to do is I got this wonderful program that it's called Propaganda, believe it or not. And the radio, I mean, it's designed to tape podcasts, and it comes in really clear, fresh, you know, got that James Earl Jones voice sound.
Oh.
And then we're going to have one every week. That's about an hour and a half, maybe longer, where we're going to have guests on. And that's all we're going to do. We're going to be real consistent with it. But the only problem is getting people lined up. Being on the West Coast, it's got its own problem.
Yeah, with the time change,
Yeah. So I'm going to have to find a target date. And one, because I'm getting my garage set, and thank God it's not a hot summer so far, not a hot spring.
Yeah, well, you don't live in Florida, so.
Yeah.
Like,
so I can go in my garage. And,
but it's been
pretty
nice. The weather's been great. I mean, it's been in the 60s at night, and it's been good sweeping weather, and it hasn't been real, real hot yet. And usually by this time in Florida, it's very, very hot. But
yes, indeed.
And
indeed.
I actually started. I'm starting a garden, and so I'm going to try to grow some things outside here, and I'm going to get a compost bin, and I'm going to start making my own fertilizer. Because I think it's a good thing to grow a little bit of your own food.
Oh yeah.
Try it.
Yeah.
And but anyway. Anyway, Phil, I want to thank you for coming on today. It was a great program. It was we had some good things to talk about. But
yes,
I'd like
indeed.
Would you close out the program in prayer, please?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this time together. We pray indeed that you would bless those listeners out there, that they would be willing and able agents to go forth and proclaim the gospel for you. We pray for this radio ministry Susan has. We pray for her YouTube ministry. We pray that you would bless her and reinstall all those things that she had on the other channel, God. And we just pray for the prophecies on also, that you would charge it up and let your word go forth and be proclaimed from this side of the world to the next. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, everybody, don't forget to check Phil out on the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio. And I want to thank you, Phil. God bless you. We'll be
thank
talking
you. God
soon,
bless you.
Okay? All right.
Yeah, bye-bye.
All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget that the most important reason to do this program is that you need to be born again. And being born again is a real experience. Yes, you will leave your old life behind, your old drug-infested, fornicating, silly life, whatever. You'll leave that all behind, and God Almighty will give you a brand new life. Yes, a brand new life. And you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life today. If you don't know who he is, you can ask him to reveal himself to you and ask him to forgive you of your sins. Yes, we must repent of our sins, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but God will forgive you of your sins. Get down on your knees today and ask Jesus to come into your life and to change your life and to give you that brand new life, and he will. And then get yourself a good King James Bible and read the Word of God. Let the Word of God change you. You'll see that after you're born again and you've accepted Christ, you will understand the Bible and you will love it. You will love it. So give your life to Jesus today. He does love you. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.